FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it is October 14th, 2017, and it's time for another Triple Lutz Report. This is episode 432. So I want to call this one Disconnecting the Dots. In our world today, nothing is ever as it seems to be. All of us, and I mean all of us, regularly experience total and complete information overload. Facts rush at us from every source imaginable, from all over the globe. Radio, television, social media, the government, zillions upon zillions of independent websites, and of course, the established legacy media, or as we lovingly refer to them as the MSM. Now, once upon a time, in a land not so far away, not so distant, the MSM would actually follow leads, attempt to get to the bottom of stories by connecting the dots. And they do it without a hidden agenda. No longer, not anymore. Now there's a regular and deliberate effort to disconnect the dots. The MSM is incurious, deliberately dumb, unconcerned about the greater story, and generally disinterested in the truth. Both historical and recent examples abound. The Gulf of Tonkin resolution, the Kennedy assassinations, Martin Luther King assassination, 9/11, the 2008-09 financial collapse, failure to catch numerous jihadi killers already on the FBI's radar, and of course, the Vegas shooter, Stephen Paddock. Now, regardless of the story, you can be virtually certain that the MSM will be out there shoveling horse excrement to a willing and often clamoring public. They actively obfuscate and divert your attention from the truth. Look, the Las Vegas massacre is only the latest example, but it really is a perfect example. So far, the FBI, Clark County Sheriff's Office have put three or more timelines together, none of which makes any sense. No sense whatsoever. There are many questions being asked and little information that has been provided in response to them. The security guard who was shot during the attack now supposedly has a gag order on him and missed several television interviews. Another anomaly that came to my attention that I immediately knew had to be wrong. It's impossible, but look, in 2015 or so the story goes, Stephen Paddock made $5 million, that's million with an M, dollars gambling. For anyone who's ever been to a casino, unless you're betting tens of thousands of dollars per hand or you hit a mega jackpot, this is virtually impossible. It's an impossibility. Paddock was a middling gambler, according to Steve Wynn, betting $100 per video poker hand. He was quick and he could do 200 hands per hour. And while he was good at math, look, in the long haul, all he could succeed in doing was losing money. And at my calculation, about $200 per hour on average. It's quite clear that this income had to have come from a source other than video poker payouts. But where? Additional questions abound. Steve Wynn, the casino mogul who owns the Wynn, also said that none of his entire staff ever remembers Paddock or his girlfriend drinking any alcohol whatsoever. Still, other witnesses said he and his girlfriend were heavy drinkers, yet the MSM has zero interest in clearing up this mystery. The neighbors in his high-end subdivision in Mesquite were suspicious of Paddock. He had a safe, they said, the size of a refrigerator. He was unfriendly and kept to himself. Gee, does that sound familiar? Several weeks before the shooting, he packed up and left, and it looked like it was for good. 2 days later, so did his girlfriend, and she took a couple of days to load her car full of stuff and leave. And then there was the interview with his brother that totally didn't ring true on so many levels. and on and on and on. We don't know the true story, and I'm not going to engage in conspiracy hypotheses. My point here is to demonstrate the media's practice of dot disconnection. No longer do they make any effort to put stories into any kind of proper context. They treat each event as if it were completely unconnected to any other event. And we all know that life doesn't work that way. All events are somewhat connected, and some events are very tightly connected. By destroying context, the media is able to push their view, or that of their masters, on an unsuspecting public that has been deliberately dumbed down. Wait until the next event. There will be one. You can be almost certain of that, and you can almost write the script yourself. Your only defense against this intentional deception is critical thinking and near complete skepticism. And even then, there will still be times when you and I get suckered and arrive at a completely false conclusion, which is what they want. But that's okay. When in doubt, remember that everything you know is wrong. And look, a recent press conference, the Clark County Sheriff was in near tears. And how could you say there could be a conspiracy? Why would you ever think that? The government always tells you the truth. But he was hiding something. There's no question about it. And they don't want you and I to know what really happened. It's quite obvious. He went over a week without a press conference. And even at this press conference, he took no questions from the press. Is that the sign of an official that wants you to know? I don't think so. So by now, Look what's going on in Hollywood. Amazing stories there. Harvey Weinstein, you know, just talk to a Democrat and they immediately want to say, well, Trump admitted on a tape that he was groping, blah, blah, blah. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But they immediately want to distract you from what is going on here, that this guy has allegations of rape, paid out hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in settlements. He's kind of the linchpin of these sex rings in Hollywood. Robert Downey Jr., and this is from a site called Neon Nettle. I don't know what that's about. I hope it's not fake news or I'm going to be upset. But look, he's saying, Robert Downey, he's gone on the record to expose a huge network of pedophilia, prostitution, and human trafficking that involves a whole host of what he calls sick F, fill in the blank. Not only has he named some powerful, well-known Hollywood celebrities, but he's also outed one of the most powerful people in America, who he says is a Rosetta Stone of every perversion from Hollywood all over the globe, and provides depraved services for Arabs, Wall Street, DC, royals, and Hollywood elites. I mean, he's one of a long line of stars to come forward to expose pedophilia in politics and the entertainment industry. But up to now, he's been the most forthcoming with names and details. In a statement, he said one of the reasons he wants to do this is to right some wrongs. He says, I have no issue with anything people voluntarily do in their private life. As long as it's consenting, kids and animals cannot consent, and not hurting another mentally or physically. Pretty interesting. And so the Rosetta Stone is this woman, Diana Jenkins. She's at the center of every scandal of perversion and you name it, from Hollywood all over the globe. She's an uber wealthy divorcee who ran UK's Barclays Bank, and she ran the Arab investors for the bank. I mean, this is just too much. We'll throw a link into it. Her best Hollywood pals include Sean Penn, Clive Davis, that was the head of Arista Records, who was at one time brought down in a drug scandal, paying off rock stars and musicians in drugs. George Clooney, Cindy Crawford, and, you know, the it just goes on and on and on. I mean, it's shocking of what he's alleging here. If any of it is true, I mean, these guys need to just be shot, you know, just lock them up. He says she's at least 50% responsible, if not more, for encouraging, enabling, and at times even participating in her hubby's twisted blank blank life. And her links cross the line into depravity, illegality, inhuman sickness. And he says, as in Ryan O'Neill, John Phillips, Tish Cyrus and Dan Schneider territory. I'm not sure exactly what all that means, but this is pretty wild stuff here. And powerful woman. He's made allegations about perversions of actor turned Nickelodeon producer Dan Schneider and implications that, well, anyways, I'm not going to go into it more than that, other than to tell you that this thing has got a lot more to run. I always believed there was an underlying core of truth to the Pizzagate investigations, and now we're getting to see it once and for all. Hey, did you see gold last week? Well, it ended up the week over 1,300, which ain't too bad. It looks like this weekend, perhaps it's going to take a little bit of a hit, try to drive it back under 1,300. But, it kind of ran the down cycle. Looks like it's heading up. Silver broke through the $17 range, closed at $17.41. Some of these stocks, if this is prolonged, are really going to take off shortly. Can't tell you exactly when, but this is what it looks like to me, attempting to divine the tea leaves. But hey, you have your own opinion. We all have our own opinions. Not everyone is right. I've been wrong as much as I've been right in the past. I don't really attempt to predict prices because it's a losing battle. You know, the dollar has gone from its peak over 100 back down to 93. Price of crude is right around the 52 buck range. The stock markets just keep going up and up. And I think Martin Armstrong's explanation of why they're doing it fully, fully understandable. So, hey, by the way, we got our sponsor, ZipRecruiter. And look, if your company is in need of great talent, but short on time, what do? You don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools. Smarter tools. What if hiring could be easier, more streamlined, and less time consuming? So even when you're busy, you could still be smart about the way you hire. If you're hiring, you know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, but you also know it can be a huge undertaking, extremely difficult, and very time consuming to find the right candidate for the job. So if you're hiring, do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? And you know, like I said, that is the hardest part of running a successful business. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading jobs boards with just one click. So you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work for you, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them for you. You can even get a head start on the interviewing process by adding screening questions to your job post. It'll help you identify the most qualified candidates so you don't have to waste time sorting through a stack of resumes to find the perfect fit. Is it any wonder why 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day or less? And the easy-to-use ZipRecruiter dashboard lets you manage your hiring process from start to finish all in one place. ZipRecruiter, it's by far the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, you, community members of Financial Survival Network, can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, I said free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Lutz. You fill in the form, ZipRecruiter.com/Lutz, hit submit, and guess what? Your job is going to be out there getting looked at and getting responses quickly. Again, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Lutz. So this is a great story. I love it because it shows that entrepreneurs will always find a way. New York City basically outlawed all Airbnb rentals. Those are the short-term rentals that you're going on vacation someplace. You don't want to spend $500 a night in a hotel. You can rent a room in somebody's condo or their apartment or whatever for like $50 a night or $150. It's really simple. So New York says you can do that, but it has to, you have to be present in the residence. So you can't be running like these little bed and breakfasts that that you're just doing it for profit. And so they passed this law about 2 years ago. And the article here in the Post is hipster Brooklyn's Airbnb black market is booming. And despite the city's best efforts to stamp out so-called illegal rentals, according to an investigator hired by a hotel industrial group, a hotel industry group, which is what this is all about, protecting a favored industry in New York. And it says the hipster status of Brooklyn just makes it a magnet for Airbnb listings, with three of its neighborhoods alone, Williamsburg, Bed-Stuy, and Bushwick, they're just parts of Brooklyn, you don't need to know where, but they account for nearly 20% of all of the services rentals in New York City. I mean, that's remarkable. And that makes it ripe for scoff laws. So, hey, kudos to all of the entrepreneurs. I mean, these hipsters are the same people that don't want you to have free speech, but they want to have the right to rent out their spare rooms to pay for their outrageous rents. The city is increasing its regulation. The Office of Special Enforcement issued 32% more short-term rental violations in the first 6 months of this year than it did in 2016. But, hey, you know, this is New York. This is what they do. And, you know, it shouldn't surprise you in the least. What I can't believe is that Comrade de Blasio, arguably the worst mayor in the history of New York City, other than his mentor, David Dinkins, is going to win probably pretty outrageously fast in New York City by a huge margin, because they've got nobody of any note running against them. How the heck did that happen? Oh, by the way, you know, tomorrow's the election of the youngest Austrian foreign minister. The guy's 31 years old. He's probably going to win. Ultra-nationalist. That's what they would like him to believe. He's against you know, unfettered Muslim refugees coming to Austria. He wants to make Austria great again, right? MAGA, make Austria great again. And it seems to be a winning thing. You know, you never know where that last bullet's going to come from. Is it going to come from France, Marine Le Pen? No. Italy? No. But Austria, of all places, which is like so connected to Germany, you know, they share a common language, culture, but they always said that the Austrians are the weaker ones. That's the way they look at it. But maybe just once, they're incorrect. Maybe it's not true. And maybe this is really the final nail in the coffin. You know, so far the markets probably aren't going to react. It's going to take a little time to digest it, but you're going to see this is going to be a major, major turning point. Tomorrow, or I should say Monday, we're going to talk to Andy Hoffman a little early and hopefully get his take on Austria and why it's a major, major milestone on the road of worldwide freedom and pushing us closer to anarchy to some extent, right? Hey, this Schumer is the worst SOB on the planet. He just has a thing about e-cigarettes, which means that obviously the tobacco industry must own this guy. Tobacco, drugs, you know, all of these big industries, they own the representatives. And he's so concerned about New York kids who are much likely to be using these new age e-cig devices. And he just wants to crack down on it and stop them. And it's heartwarming to see a politician cares that much about the kids. Don't you believe it? E-cigarettes don't contain tobacco. You know, there's juice that has nicotine in it, but a lot of the juice that gets consumed in them doesn't have any nicotine in it. So I don't think people advance from e-cigarettes to regular cigarettes. I think it works the other way around. And that's what this is about. The city's future financial stability depends on it taxing the hell out of cigarettes. We need cigarette smokers. The amount of taxes they can get off an e-cig is just, you know, if it costs $100 and that's 2 months worth of juice and the e-cig machine itself, the vaporizer, I mean, you know, that's a tremendous loss to them. They're making $8 or $9 in sales tax, and that's what they're freaking out about. Don't let them kid you. That's what this is all about. Anyway, that is it for now. This has been another Triple Lutz Report. Carrie Lutz, signing off.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.